Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another membership class. I am your teacher, I am Pastor Torres, and I am so glad that you have tuned in today for this wonderful lesson. Our lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Let's open up our Bibles. We'll be reading from the New King James Version. Your scripture verses are already there in your outline. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. We thank you for this wonderful text that reminds us that we are all members of this one glorious body, Christ being the head thereof. Bless us, O God, we pray, as we consider the second part of considering successful organ transplant. How does a member from another church who leaves that church in good standing, how do they come to grace and be received joyfully at grace? Bless us, O God. Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts and our minds. Guide us, lead us to all biblical truth, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. If you look at your introduction, I want to remind you that there are two sermons that I preached on church membership back in July 10th of 2022 and July 17th of 2022. If you're interested in those lengthy sermon outlines that have much on membership, which I am not covering in these classes, you send me an email and I would gladly send them to you. Also, we are looking at the seven figures of Christ's church. There are seven pictures in the New Testament which show the unique relationship between Christ and his people. One being the shepherd and the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And how he relates to us, his sheep. Then we talked about, or we made note of, the vine and the branches. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Then we made note of the cornerstone and the stones of the building. Christ is that chief cornerstone. We are the other stones that are built around Christ, making that one glorious temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. We talked about the high priest. Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and we are a kingdom of priests. And by that, we offer up prayer. We offer up incense. Incense is prayer. Incense is intercession. We offer up our prayers and our praises to God as a kingdom of priests. Then we also may note that Christ is the last or the second Adam, and we are the new creation, a new creation in the Holy Spirit. Then we talked about the bridegroom, how Christ is the bridegroom, and we are the glorious bride. And then finally, this is where we are now, the head and the body with its many members. Now, if we were to talk really at length about membership, we would have to do great justice to all of these seven figures of the church. We're only talking about one. I'm only emphasizing one. But as you can see, there's so much wonderful truth concerning the scriptures. And this truth focuses on our unique relationship as individuals to the one leader of the church, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I want you to turn to page number 2 here in your outline, because like I said last week, I want to make recommendations. I want to give you my personal advice. How does a person coming from another church, another fellowship, another congregation, another denomination, how does that person who is transferring their membership to grace, how do they do it successfully? How do we receive you as a member as an organ, if you will, using the language of 1 Corinthians 12, using that imagery of Christ being the head and the body, the church, the congregation, having many members or many parts. How do you, coming from another place, come to grace and are transplanted into grace successfully? We don't want organ rejection. We want organ acceptance. Now, again, this is advice. These are recommendations that I'm giving you because I, too, am a transplant to grace. I am not an original member of grace. Grace was not the church where I came to Christ at. I am very, very, very new to Grace Christian Church. So how did I do it? And I believe that the brothers and sisters at Grace Church would bear this out. My transplant and my wife's transplant and the transplant of our children has been successful. And I'm going to give you the reasons why. So let's look at letter A. And letter A, we have three blanks. I blank, blank, blank of God. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Prayed the will of God. That's the first thing you have to do. Say, God, is it your will for me to become a member of Grace Church? Is it your will? Does this please you? Is this what you want? Is this what you want from me, for my spouse, for my children? Do you want me to join Grace Church? Now, I refer you to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, which is right here on the same page. But now God has set the members. And the word set means he placed. He positioned. Now God has placed, God has positioned the members, each one of them individually now, with individual specification and care. God has set, placed, ordained the members in the body just as he pleased. You have to pray. I prayed when I interviewed for Grace, and I was in the preliminary workings of talking to different of the different leaders at Grace and different boards and different people. While I was talking to them, I was talking to God. I was praying. Is this your will, Lord? Is it your will for me, who is completely new to grace and foreign to grace? I'm foreign to grace. But is it your will for you to transplant me there as pastor? Is this your will? Because everything must be done as he pleased. God must be pleased with the decision. So that's the first thing. I prayed the will of God. God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. B. Now, it says, I blank, blank, grace blank, and blank, to determine if I was biblically, theologically, and ministerially blank to your host body. All right, so here are the blanks. I, one, examined. I examined, / studied, grace's constitution, that's the next blank, grace's constitution and bylaws. I examined / studied grace's constitution and bylaws to determine if I was biblically, theologically, and ministerially compatible. Am I compatible with Grace Church? Does Grace Church believe what I believe? Does it hold to the same theological truths? Does it intend to do ministry as I intend to do ministry? Are we compatible? Because if we're not compatible biblically, theologically, and ministerially, why even bother applying to be the pastor? I had to do my due diligence to see if we were a match. Why waste anybody's time if I did not do my due diligence to see if we were a match? That's what it means when I say I examined, I studied Grace's constitution and bylaws. It was by reading those documents that I determined, okay, we have this in common. In other words, I was able to check off the boxes and say, okay, we're compatible. I can be part of this church. They believe what I believe. They practice what I practice. They're into what I'm into spiritually. C is spiritual mindset. C is, the first blank is spiritual. The second blank is mindset, spiritual mindset. I determined, based on Romans 12:3, read Romans 12, verses 1 through 8, that if elected pastor, I would join Grace to be one of many members/organs in the congregational body. So again, let's go over that. What was my spiritual mindset going in? I had already determined in my mind, knowing what Romans 12 verses 1 through 8 says about being a member of the body, because it's not just 1 Corinthians 12, you have Romans 12. Romans 12 verses 1 through 8, especially verse 3. I had determined, knowing those scriptures, that if I was elected pastor of Grace Church, I would be one of many members/organs in the congregational body. Being pastor would afford me no special status. Write that down. Special is the first blank. Status is the second blank. Being pastor would afford me no special status. In other words, I'm just like everybody else. And that's the mindset you have got to have when you transfer from one church to another. When you transfer, you just got to come in saying, listen, although I am pastor, and some people would say, well, you're just more than a member. No, wrong. And that's where people get tripped up. That's where people make the mistake. Yes, in a sense, I'm just more than a member, but in another sense, I'm just like every other member. So again, I would join Grace to be one. As one member, I would only have one vote. Pastors do not have any kind of veto power. That is so foreign to the Bible. That's so foreign to the scriptures. That's so antagonistic to the Holy Spirit. Pastor has veto power. That's nonsense. The church is not a United States democracy. The pastor is not the president of anything. He has no executive power. The executive power, veto power, belongs to the head of the church, which is Christ. Therefore, when I join Grace, knowing what Romans 12 verses 1 through 8 and specifically verse 3 tell me, when I join Grace, I'm just going to be just one of a long group of others. I have no special status. I would simply be another key member, yes, a key member serving the local body. That's all I would be. Now, when you come into a church as a pastor and you walk around like you're some prima donna, like somebody owes you something, when you walk around with your chest sticking out, and you demand that people genuflect as you walk by, you're going to be rejected. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants a prima donna for a pastor. What people are looking for is for another brother in Christ to join the church, roll up his sleeves, and get to work. This is about work. This is about serving the body. All I am is simply another member. The one who is something, the one we bow to, the one that we praise is the Lord Jesus. If you come in with that mindset, people will receive you. People reject proud people. And we'll talk a little bit more about that next week in part three. We're going to talk about how people who want to join the church are quickly rejected because they're just too proud. So let's go to Romans 12. To Romans chapter 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Bible, Romans 12. And we want to start at verse number 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Now, those two verses are very important because we come out of the world, we come out of the world system, and possibly in the world system you held some rank, you held some position, you were the head of some department, you led a staff or whatever. And in the world, people who have positions of power walk around like they're little gods on earth. Now, that doesn't translate into the church. Paul says you're not to bring the world's mindset into the church. I'll give you an example. In many churches today, you hear the pastor refer to his wife as the first lady. She's the first lady of the church. I mean, that's just stupid. There is no first lady in the church. In fact, the whole church is the first lady. Why? Because the entire church is the bride of Christ. So whenever I hear pastors saying, my wife is the first lady of the church, no, she's not. She's the first lady of your house. She's your first lady. She's not my first lady, and she's not the first lady of the membership. Again, you're not the president of the United States. You know, and your wife is not the first lady because this is not a worldly government. That's worldly talk. In the church, we're all members one of another. And Paul says, don't bring that worldly mindset. Don't bring that worldly language. Don't bring that worldly lingo into the church. Why? Because you have to renew your mind. The entire church, everybody, all the members together make up the bride of Christ. If there's a first lady, it's the entire congregation. Thus, this is why you'll never hear me refer to my beloved wife as the first lady. Why? Because that would be bringing a worldly concept, a worldly foolish concept into the house of God. So again, be not conformed to this world. Now, look at verse 3. Verse 3 is key.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
There you go. Listen. Don't think yourself a superstar. Okay, so you're a pastor. Don't go around thinking you're some special person. like the world would put that label on you. Oh, he's a superstar pastor. No. Paul says, listen, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. This is what gets people in trouble. They think that they have special giftings, special talents. They've earned a number of degrees. They have a huge resume. They published a few books. They catch me out. They think now that they're bigger than everybody else. That causes problems. So when I came into Grace Church, despite my 40 years of ministerial experience, despite all of my degrees, all of my learning, my resume, all of that, I came in simply to be one member among many others. That was my mindset. Why? Because the Bible says, for I say, through the grace of God given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't let your head get swollen simply because God has blessed you to go to some schools and you have a little bit more understanding than some other people, or because you spent 20 years on the mission field, or because you're able to read Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Spanish, English. Okay, God has graced you. Big deal. That doesn't make you better than anyone else. You are just another member. Now, what I'm telling you, I used to teach my students. When I used to prepare pastors for the ministry, when I used to teach them pastoral theology, I would say the same thing. Go into the church not as a peacock, not as a prima donna, not saying to the congregation, look at me, I've arrived. No. Walk into that church with no fanfare, with no trumpets. Walk into that church like Jesus walked into the world. Jesus walked into the world and was born in a manger. That's it. That's what Jesus did. You have to take his example. Just if you're something, prove it by your service. Don't talk a lot. Don't tell us what you've done and what you've accomplished and what your titles are and what your degrees are and where you went. That doesn't impress me. What impresses me is, what have you done for us lately? Roll up your sleeves, get the job done, and that will impress us. All of that big talk means nothing. That's what the world does. That's what the world looks for. Now look at verses 4 through 8. Romans 12, 4 through 8.
For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another.
There you go. This is speaking to members and pastors. Members and pastors are just members. Organs. The only one mentioned here by name is Christ. Who's Christ? He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. That's the only one that gets the mention. Everybody else is just a member. Deacons are just a member. Trustees are just the members. The pastors are just members. And the members are just members. We're all members of one body. No one is to be elevated above the other. Now, that's what the world does, but we're not the world. We are governed by the scriptures. So listen, letter C. What was my spiritual mindset going in? I determined based on Romans 12:3 that if elected as pastor, I would join Grace to be what? To be a superstar? No. To sit up in the platform elevated above everyone else and have people call me reverend? No. I simply came in to be one of the many other members and organs in that congregational body. I would hold no special status. I would simply be another key member serving the local body. Now let's read verses 6, 7, and 8.
Having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness.
That's it. In other words, if you have a job, if you have a gifting, get to work. I don't want to hear about your talents. I don't want to hear about, you know, what you've done. That's all good and fine. And listen, I'm not dismissing it, and I'm not putting it down, and God bless you. And it's not that I'm jealous of you. I just don't want to hear it. What we need is people to roll up their sleeves and get working. Enough of the talking. Enough of the bragging. Enough of telling us who you are and where you came from and what you did. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. That's what this is all about. Well, you know, I happen to be whatever. Who cares? That was yesterday. All that stuff in your resume was yesterday. What can you do for me today is what the church is asking. And that's the mindset that you have to have. You lock arms with your brothers and sisters and you get to work. Now, of course, everybody knows you're the pastor. But you don't have to remind them every 5 minutes. And you don't have to demand special recognition every 10 seconds. And you don't have to tell them and you don't have to remind people of who you are and what you've done and what you've written and you know, what award you've been given. Again, that's in the past. We are in the present. A church needs to be built. A spiritual body for Christ needs to be built. Get working. And you don't do that by being a loudmouth. You don't do that by bragging. And you know, it's interesting because the people that do, I've learned from experience, that the people that do the most bragging and the people who are always reminding you of their resume are the people who accomplish nothing. They accomplish absolutely zero. That's been my experience. So I've always told my students, if you are fortunate to be elected pastor of a church or if a denomination grants you a pastorate, just go in there like Jesus came into the world and just serve. You know, Jesus was God. And Jesus never showed his glory. You know, it was only on the Mount of Transfiguration that he gave his disciples a glimpse. And they were blown away. So Jesus didn't brag. Again, can we be as meek and as lowly as our sweet Jesus? If you do that, people will welcome you with open arms. They'll welcome you. Okay, let's go to letter D. I determined not to make the very common pastoral mistake of flaunting. How many people flaunt? So I determined, when I came to Grace, I determined not to make the very common, and I've seen young pastors do this all the time, even some old pastors. They make the common mistake. It's common in ministry. It's like they have to tell somebody who they are. They make the common pastoral mistake of flaunting. Another word for flaunting is to brag. You don't have to brag. Just do the job. If you're a pitcher and you strike out 19 batters in 27 innings, you don't have to brag. Your stats, your accomplishments will tell us that you're the ace of the staff. Show us that you're the ace of the staff, not by talking and by telling the reporters and the newscasters that you're the ace of the staff. Prove it on the mound. I determined not to make the very common pastoral mistake of flaunting or imposing. my resume. History / achievements on Grace Church. This is something that I've practiced, and this is something that I've always done, and this is something that I've passed on to my junior pastors. You go to a church, don't flaunt, don't impose, don't hand out your resume to impress people, don't talk about your history, don't talk about your past achievements, don't do it. Again, that is a big turnoff. Big turnoff. In fact, every now and then I come across a few of my junior students, and sometimes they'll say to me, Dr. T, don't you know that I have just recently done this, 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 and this? And you know what I tell them? I don't care. Don't you know I've written a book? I've been published. I don't care. What are you doing for your sheep? That's what matters. You see, again, a lot of people like to talk themselves up. I will tell you that if you come to a church as a transplant member, take it from me. Take it from a guy who has a hefty resume. I have many achievements. I have a hit, and I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just telling you this as a fact. My approach is come in quietly. Come in quietly and do your job. Don't come in bragging. Don't come in boasting, because you turn people off. Turn them off. And the problem with people like the people that I'm mentioning is that they never stop doing it. They're always reminding you. They're always telling you of how they can do this and how they can do that and how they're so powerful in the Holy Spirit and how they don't tell me. Show me. Show me what you can do by locking hands with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and doing it. So I was being blank into Grace Church. That means transplanted. I was being transplanted into Grace Church when she was 147 years old. That's when I came to Grace. I came to Grace when she had just finished becoming 147 years old. I determined, like any transplanted organ, to assume the identity and honor the history of the host body / church that was now embracing me as pastor. That's what I determined to do. Grace had an august history. Grace has had a glorious history. And I was coming as one transplanted member. And when I came to Grace, she already had 147 years of ministry, and I was determined by the grace of God to just be another transplant organ that was going to assume the identity and honor the history of the church that I would be elected pastor of. Now, let me give you the example. Let me show you how this plays out in a transplant. Example. Mary was a very sick 65-year-old woman who was in desperate need of a kidney transplant. She needed one kidney. Did this lady Mary. One, she was 65, in desperate need of one kidney. In a few weeks, Mary was blessed with the much-needed kidney. A 29-year-old male by the name of Johnny had died in a car accident and it was determined that he was the perfect match as an organ donor. So here is Mary. She needs a kidney. Mary needs a kidney. She's going downhill fast. And she's on the donor list. And she gets a call. Her doctor gets the call. There's a kidney for Mary, and we've checked everything out, same blood type, same everything. It's a match. Okay. So now, the transplant was a success. Now, look at this last sentence. Mary's body did not reject Johnny's kidney, and she lived happily for another 22 what? Years. So she got the kidney, her body, all of her organs and all of her systems did not reject the one kidney being put into her body to filter her blood. So she lived another 22 years. She died at 87 of old age. Okay? All right. Now, there's some important lessons to be learned here, and this is what I want to convey to you. Number one, Mary did not lose her identity or history by receiving one of Johnny's organs. Mary was a woman. Mary was a woman of 65. Mary was married, had four children. Mary, when one of Johnny's kidneys, one of Johnny's kidneys was put into her body, Mary did not lose her identity or her history when Johnny's kidney was successfully transplanted into Mary's body. It was Johnny's kidney who assumed Mary's identity, history, and life. Did you get that? So, I give you this example to show you that when I came to grace, I come to grace and I am transplanted in grace. Grace does not assume my character, my identity, or my history. No, it's the contrary. I assume grace's history. I assume grace's character. Why? Because grace is the larger body and I am just a singular member. A lot of people who get rejected, a lot of people who hit a brick wall in the church are the kind of people who come in and they say, well, we're going to change the church. And the church has to assume my personality. And the church, and there's a lot of pastors who do that. A pastor will get a pastorate and he'll come in and he'll think he's the creme of the creme, the cat's meow, and he'll say to the board and to the trustees, you guys, you deacons, and you are going to take on my vision, my personality, blah, 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 whatever nonsense spews out of their mouth. And then there's what? Pushback. Why? Because, Pastor, you are a transplant. We are the larger body. Like I said, I come to grace. Grace already has 104. I have 40 years in ministry. Grace has 147. Grace Church has 147 years of ministry. I just have 40. Who's going to assume whose history? I am going to assume Grace's. Well, there's a lot of people who come into churches and they think, they believe that because they're special, because they have certain giftings, because they have certain titles, because they have certain resumes, the church is going to assume their personality and do things their way. And that's when rejection comes in. Let's read number one again. Mary did not lose her identity or history by receiving one of Johnny's organs. Nor did Mary assume Johnny's identity and history. Now, Johnny was how old? 29. Mary was not, she wasn't dressing like a man when she got Johnny's kidney. And she wasn't acting like a man. Mary was not rejecting her husband because she assumed, well, this man died, he's a male, I have his kidney inside of me, and now I feel like I'm a man. No, she didn't assume his identity. She didn't assume his history. Mary did not try to go back and try to make amends and try to connect with all the people that Johnny knew in his past. She didn't assume his history or his life. It's the same thing. If you go to a church and you go in there with the mindset that they're going to do what you want them to do because you have the gifts and the power and the anointing and whatever you think you have, those people are going to show you the door. And rightly so. You're just one organ being transplanted into that glorious church. Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am if I have that mindset that Grace Church is going to accept me and take on my personality? Absolutely not. Number two, Mary's body with its many organs and six systems. Remember, a body has a circulatory system, a nervous system, digestive, muscular, respiratory, skeletal. Mary's body with its many organs and six systems did not suffer a hostile takeover from Johnny's soul kidney becoming a new version of her donor, Johnny. Mary did not become Johnny. Why? Because Johnny's one kidney did not take over. There was no hostile takeover. And a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders transferred their membership from one church to another, and they go to a certain church and they think they're going to accomplish a coup d'etat, a hostile takeover. And you know what happens? The church will show these people the door faster than a New York minute. That's not the way you go into a local church body. And that starts with pastors. Pastors need to have the Romans 12:3 mindset. Do not think of yourself more highly than you are to. You're just one of many other members. Letter E. Let's go to page 4. I'm speaking from experience, and this is everywhere I've gone, how I prevented rejection as an organ at Grace Church. You see, when I went into Grace Church, I went in as an organ, and the church body did not reject me. Didn't reject me. And I'm gonna show you why. Okay? Number one. And you see, there's a science. You see, there's a science to understanding and preventing rejection. There's a doctor, he's looking at a kidney, and there's a science. You see, everything is scientific. When Paul says that we are the body of Christ, he's the head and we're many members, you got to understand this thing about the human body. And it plays out every day in local churches. And this is why it's important to know these seven figures of the Church of Christ. It's important to know what is the relationship between the vine and the branches. What is the relationship between the cornerstone and the other stones in the building? What is the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep? See, all of these seven pictures have deep, deep spiritual implications. And this is why the church is so confused and the church is so messed up, because we read these things, we look at them superficially, and we do not go into the nuances of the biblical text. And this is why it has been proven, recent study shows, that a pastor will last at a church for 2.5 years. Every 2.5 years, you will have a revolving door experience with your pastor. You got him, he'll only be around for 2.5 years. Why? Because eventually, the pastor's head gets too big for his own good, and the body rejects him. Why? Because this is a person who went to college. This is a person who went to seminary. This is a person who claims to have studied Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and knows nothing of organ rejection prevention. And they're the first culprits. They're the first ones to be rejected. Why? Again, a lack of spiritual understanding. That's why these classes are so important. Because if you're coming to grace, now you're not coming to grace as pastor, but I want to show you how I got in. I want to show you how I became integrated, how I have been welcomed, how I have been able to successfully work amicably, at peace, in love with all of my brothers and sisters because I had the mind of Christ. I went in. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's the mind of humility. So, how I prevented rejection. I could have been rejected. Listen, I've been at Grace now for about a year and 5 months. I could have been rejected by now. Now, number one, I made it my business as pastor of Grace Church to turn my first year into a tutorial, a training, to immerse myself in everything Grace. In other words, I said to the leaders of Grace, give me your constitution. Give me your bylaws. Do you have, is there any history on Grace? And Sister Gail McCready and others handed me manuals and different documentation. I immersed myself in everything Grace. That's what I did. My first year was a year of learning. I want to learn about this church. I want to learn about its history. I want to read about every decade. I want to know what happened. I want to know how God sovereignly has kept this church over 147 years. Give me everything you have. And people kept giving me stuff. And I was so blessed by their wanting to share with me the history. And I was so blessed that stuff had been recorded. So I made it my business as pastor of Grace Church to turn my first year into a tutorial. I went to school. I sent myself to school. Now, I expressed this in my first annual pastoral report. Let me read it to you. It's all of this in gray. I begin my report. This is what I submitted in my first annual meeting. I begin my report by stating that 2022 was a year of much learning for me. I felt that to succeed in shepherding the Lord's people at Grace, I needed to be schooled in several key areas, such as, one, the history of Grace Church, two, the religious traditions and yearly calendar of Grace Church. You know, every congregation has their traditions. Every church has a yearly calendar that they follow. I wanted to, and each church is different. You know, you may pastor two or three Assemblies of God churches, and each one of those Assemblies of God churches has their own tradition and their own yearly calendar. So I wanted to learn, what is this church's tradition? What is their yearly calendar like? What do they observe? What do they don't observe? Because some churches observe these feasts and other churches do not. So I wanted to immerse myself in this information. Number three, I wanted to read the constitution and bylaws of the church. I wanted to read the creed, the doctrinal beliefs of the church. I wanted to get to know the boards and the ministries of the church. I personally wanted to become acquainted with each church officer, board member, and church member. Church members who attended and church members who did not attend. I also wanted a history and a map of the village of St. Johnsville. I was greatly assisted in this educational process by Grace's church officers, board members, and church members alike. They provided me with the necessary reading materials and adequately provided answers to all my questions. You see, I was showing my dear brothers and sisters that their church was important to me, that their history was important to me, and that as a transplant member, I would assume the identity of this local church body. That helped ingratiate me to my brothers and sisters. And I needed to do it because that's what should always be done when you go to a church. I tell my former students that all the time, and few of them have ever listened. To their own detriment, to their own tears. Oh, Dr. T, if only I had listened to you. Number two, I determined to make no changes whatsoever. This was also highlighted in my 2022 annual report, and I read, let the record show that there were no spiritual overhauls made at Grace Church in 2022, for none were warranted. I had assessed when interviewing for the pastoral position late in 2021 that Grace Church was a fine congregation with a solid core of leaders who faithfully served as deacons and trustees. In my estimation, all Grace Church needed at the time was a pastor of equal caliber and dedication to match her leaders and members. Thus, the Sunday morning worship service was left intact. The order of service, the pre-worship, and the worship service remains today as it was in 1874. In conclusion, let me say that spiritually and structurally, every fellowship, ministry, and department at Grace Church is in good shape, always striving to improve, to better serve our current and future members. Now, when I came to Grace Church, I didn't minimize their history. I didn't minimize their tradition. I didn't walk in there and say, like some would say when they would enter a church and want to be part of the church, this church is dead. The worship is dead, or the preaching is dead, or, no wonder this church doesn't grow. No. I made no overhauls because none were warranted. And I mean that sincerely. The worship is fine. The preaching and the order of service and everything is fine. I am so amazed at the level of exhortations that we get each and every week. What was lacking was someone who would be the pastor. That's all that was lacking. And that's all I did. I just did. That's it. I didn't come in there and say, this needs to be removed, this needs to be demolished, this needs to be taken away. You do that, you're going to be rejected. Why? Because you're trashing things that are important to them. I'll give you an example. When I married my wife and I would join her family for Thanksgiving or her family for Christmas, her family at Thanksgiving and Christmas didn't do things the way the Torres family does. The Rosa family didn't do things the way the Torres family does. In fact, I like the way the Torres family does things. But when I went to my wife's Christmas party or Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, I didn't trash her family. I sat in my corner, wherever they sat me, wherever they said, can I sit here? Yes, I sat there. And then I learned about the family. I was one person joining the large Rosa family. And I became integrated. And I learned to appreciate their traditions. And now there's diversity. Because we go to her side of the family, and they do it one way. You come to my side of the family, and they do it another way. And it's a change. I appreciate her side. She appreciates my side. Nobody was trashing anybody. That's what you have to learn to do. And so many pastors will go into a church and say, In the first month, 2 months, 3 months, we're taking this out, we're removing this, this is no good, this is killing the service. No. That's wrong. Go in there, make no changes, and just simply become part of what's been going on for 147 years. I married Sister Linda. I was joining a family that was going on for years. Who was I to come in there as a transplant, as a newbie into the family to tell them, hey, do your Christmas tree this way. Instead of having a goose for Christmas, you ought to have roast pork. Who am I? I just sat there, and whatever they served me, I ate it gladly. And that's when you do, when you become part of a church. Now I'll go to the Rosa family reunions and dinners and whatever, and now I can walk around and I can jest and I can laugh. Because why? I've been accepted. I haven't been rejected. I'm not that brother-in-law that people can't stand. I'm received. I'm welcomed. I'm embraced. I'm kissed. I'm loved. That's what you want. You don't walk in there like a snob. What is this? This isn't the way my grandmother used to do it, and I'm partial to the way my grandmother used to do things. But you don't say that. You learn how their grandmother did it, and you learn to appreciate it, and you adopt their history. There was no pushback. Now, number three, finally, I devoted myself to my organ function. What's my organ function? I just have one function. I'm one organ. And again, when you read Romans 12, when you read 1 Corinthians 12, Paul never states, he's the author of both epistles, he never states what organ the pastor is. He simply says we're all one organ. Everybody's one organ. So I devoted myself to my singular organ function, which is what? Pastoring. I got busy feeding. I got busy guiding, overseeing, protecting the flock. I did not engage in any other function. I didn't stick my nose in other people's business. I didn't say, what are the deacons doing? I asked no questions about money until to this day. I've never asked a question about money. Money is not my function. I care about people. My job revolves around people. And the church can grow. If we ever grow, and let's say we grow double the size or triple the size or quadruple the size, I'll never ask about money. Why? Because I'm too busy engaged with people. Stick to your function. Don't stick your nose in things you don't need to stick your nose in. If I'm brought into a meeting and I'm asked my opinion, I'll offer my opinion, and that's all it'll be. But I will not impose my will. Why? You run into trouble. You run into big trouble. So my main objection for 2022, finally, I devoted myself to my organ function, pastoring, feeding, guiding, overseeing, protecting the flock, and did not engage in any other function. I stayed within the bonds of my ordained function and never ventured into or meddled in areas not pertaining to the biblical office of pastor. I gave myself wholly to praying, visiting, preaching, teaching, counseling, comforting, and protecting the flock entrusted to me. I was one organ fulfilling my one function, pastoring. That also is noted in my annual report. And let me read. My main objective for 2022 was to restore the office of the pastor. What Grace Church needed was a kidney. That's what it needed. So I became that kidney. I became Johnny to Grace Church, who was Mary. My main objective for 2022 was to restore the office of the pastor at Grace Church. I gave myself wholeheartedly to praying, preaching, teaching, visiting, guiding, and developing leaders. I don't recall being absent from the pulpit once in 2022, preaching every week as was required with accompanying outlines. I taught 52 Bible series in 52 weeks of 2022, providing outlines for each of the Manna from Heaven internet radio broadcast series, a total of 280 lessons and 365 days. I preached every celebration of life service at Grace and committed to the Lord's safekeeping every member we placed in the ground performing the service of committal. I made every home, nursing home, hospital visit necessary. I was on call 24/7. I gave myself to the work, and by the grace of God, I was able to keep my promise to the saints who voted me in as pastor. Many thanks to the leaders and the members who aided me along the way, were so patient and so kind, and made my learning curve much easier. To them, I am eternally indebted. You see? And by the grace of God, I'm still pastor, looking forward to doing even more with my fellow members in the body of Christ. That's how you come into a church. That's what you do. Not just as pastor, but as a member. You come from another church. Well, my church used to do it this way. Well, good. Where's your church now? Well, the Lord told me to move on. Okay, so if you moved on and you're here, then learn our way. Sit there, be quiet, learn. Learn. Okay, so you're reminiscing. You're thinking about the good old days in your old church. Well, you have an option. You can go back to your old church, to the good old days, to the way they used to do it there, or you can come here and just learn our way. If you learn our way and you become integrated and you have what Paul says in Romans 12:3, the right kind of mindset, then it's going to go well for you. But if you keep bringing up, you know, what this church doesn't have or what this church should have and how we're not like your old church and how we should identify as your old church or take on the personality of your own church, there's going to be organ rejection. I'm going to have to sit down with you and have a good talk. And I'm going to have to ask you to really think hard and to really pray hard to see if Grace Church is for you because you're causing trouble. Go back to page 3. Go back to page 3 for a moment. Page 3. Go to the middle of page 3 where it says important lessons to be learned. Mary did not lose her identity or history. Now, there at the bottom of point number 1, you have healthy church organ, dead church organ. Now, some of us come from a church and are seeking to be transplanted in Grace who came from a healthy church. For example, someone can move from Orlando, Florida, and they just left their church in Orlando, Florida. They come with a letter of recommendation from their pastor, and their church is an Assemblies of God church, and their church has 1,000 people. It's a healthy church. It's a growing church. It's a booming church. That's a healthy church. So you're an organ that is seeking to be transplanted in Grace, but you came from a healthy church. Other people are seeking to be transplanted at Grace who come from a church that just died or a church that just closed down or a church that just shut its doors. Either case, whether you're coming from a healthy church or you're coming from a dead church, either way, you should follow my advice. Pray about it. Seek the Lord. Adopt the mindset that Paul tells us to adopt in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then see if you can integrate yourself if Grace Church is for you. But you cannot bring to us, you can't bring to Grace and say, you know, I wish that Grace had this, and I wish that Grace had that, and I wish that Grace had this other, because, you know, they do. That's the way they do it at my church. My church has a 7:30 a.m. service. My church in Orlando had a 7:30 a.m. service, and, you know, we want a 7:30 a.m. service. And you keep coming every week, and you keep bringing that up. Well, we're not going to have a 7:30 a.m. service, and you got to understand that. And no matter how much you bring it up, we're not going to have a 7:30 service. We're not going to cry uncle. We're not going to give in to what you want or what you're demanding. So you see what I'm saying, my dear brothers and sisters? You really have to pray. You have to see if you're compatible. We just might not be for you, and that's okay. Because we realize we're not for everybody. I realized at a very young age, I wasn't for everybody. I realized that very young. Now, okay, let's go to page 6. Conclusion. And there's the human body. Look at all the organs. Look at all those organs. And what do? They all function. None of those organs are around there bragging. None of those organs are showing resumes. None of those organs are talking about, you know, what they did last year. It's what you're doing today. It's what you can do for the body today. Conclusion. I believe, and the present results bear witness to the fact, that my personal organ transplant at Grace Church was a success because, one, I made the prudent choice from the onset, and it's the same choice I used to tell my students. I said, when you go in there, don't make this fatal mistake. I made the prudent choice. In other words, I practiced what I preached. The advice I gave my former students, I put into practice myself. I made the prudent choice from the onset to be one of many equal members. I am as equal as everyone who sits down there in those pews. I am just one. We are a congregational church. Every member has one vote. Now, I may have more responsibility, but we're all equal in the eyes of the Lord. Number two, I slowly, and I emphasize slowly, don't rush. Don't rush in and say, this is what we want. No, take your time. I slowly integrated myself into Grace Church and made no abrupt changes that would have produced ill feelings, resistance, pushback, and calls. For what? Thorough dismissal. I prayed, God, do you want me here? And I felt the Lord saying to me, yes, that's where you're going to be. So you know what I did? I prayed and I waited and I interviewed and I waited and I went and I preached and I waited and I just waited until the day came for the vote. I didn't know the way it was going to go. I just prayed. I felt it was of God. And then when God gave me the golden opportunity to be the pastor of Grace Church, I went in there and I just sat there like everyone else. I made the prudent choice to be one with my brothers and sisters. Remember, there's diversity but unity. We're all different. We all have different giftings. We all have different tasks, but we're all to be united. Here you are, the big gift, the big member, the big to-do, the big braggadocious member, and what do? You're causing heartache. You're causing division. You're causing trauma because you want things your way. You know what's going to happen? The body's going to reject you. You may have been transplanted, but then the surgeons are going to come in and take you right out. Again, I slowly integrated myself into Grace Church and made no abrupt changes that would have produced what? Ill feelings, resistance, pushback, and calls for transplant rejection, making my pastorate very short-lived. This is why you have, on an average, a pastor lasting at every church for 2.5 years. I pray that by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I will be at grace until the Lord calls me home. That's what I pray. I don't pray for anything short-lived. I'm in there for the long haul. I'm sold out. I'm integrated. I am grace. I am part of grace. I've assumed the identity. I've assumed the history. That's it. Number three, I stayed focused on my singular function as one organ and devoted all my time, energies, and gifts in serving the members of grace as they elected me to do. They didn't elect me to be a deacon. They didn't elect me to collect offerings. They didn't elect me to count money. They didn't elect me to make deposits. They elected me to be shepherd. That's my one function. I don't get involved in any department unless I am asked or unless there's an emergency need. Apart from that, I don't stick my nose where it doesn't belong. And when you read the Bible, I can give you example after example of people intruding into offices that the Lord did not give them permission to intrude in, and God punished them. We are to do what God has called us to do, and that's it. God has, listen, again, the whole body cannot be the eye. It can't be. It's made up of many, many members. Now, next week, which is part three in this series, I'm going to show you what organs, what members, what kinds of people who come to grace seeking to be transplanted into grace, I'm going to show you what kinds of people will be rejected from membership. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to show it to you biblically, what kinds of people Grace Church will reject because they will not be the proper organs. This is a lesson you don't want to miss. It'll be lesson number 13. And I say this for all of the future people. There's going to be, we're recording these lessons now because we anticipate that in the future, these lessons will be used 10 years from now, Lord willing. 15 years from now, these lessons will be used to accept members in. So to all those people who will listen to these lessons over the years, I'm going to show you how to successfully transplant into grace and how to destroy your chances of being accepted into grace. And it's all on you. It's all on what you decide to do, not what we decide to do. We will only do what we need to do based on what you do. And I'll show you that next week. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this lesson. We pray, Lord, that you would make it plain in the hearts of your people, that they may read over the lesson again. They may read over all the scriptures that have been presented. And Father God, we pray that all would be well with their soul because it is all scripture. Bless us until we meet again. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Shepherd, gentle shepherd, show me how. Shepherd, show me how to go. Shepherd, shepherd, show me how to go. Help me, guide me to cool waters where no wild winds blow. Let the lamb can go astray. Let the lamb can go their way. Shepherd, shepherd, gentle shepherd, show me how. Gentle shepherd, show me how.